Agenda Item 15.
On Agenda Item 15, this is the status report that we actually discussed conceptually the last time the county came before the board, which I think was in Watsonville. Is that the last time?
We're trying to remember. I think it was May.
Okay. At any rate, we had talked about having another status report in the fall, and so here we are. And our staff has provided just the one-page introductory remarks here in your agenda, and staff doesn't plan to amplify on that. And then the county has provided a written status report, and we have three representatives from the county here today to give you a presentation. And I did have their card here. Right here. And start with Supervisor.
Okay. Good morning, Supervisor Gibson.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, that's right. Go ahead.
Time out.
One moment, please.
I want to just read a statement of about Dr. Hunter's participation in this matter because she does live in Los Osos and is conflicted on matters involving enforcement. So I just want to read this statement. Board member Monica Hunter, PhD, is a member of the Central Coast Water Board and resides in Los Osos. Dr. Hunter has, on occasion, prior to becoming a Water Board member, attended public meetings of the Los Osos Community Services District and advocated protection of Morro Bay and the National Estuary regarding siting of one of the treatment facility options. She has also urged support for the county's process. Dr. Hunter has, in the past, attended meetings conducted by the county, a meeting of the California Coastal Commission, and a meeting of the Fish and Game Commission to urge awareness of and support for implementation of the Marine Life Protection Act. The focus of Dr. Hunter's comments has been on the importance of meeting the new mandates of that act to protect Morro Bay and the estuary. Dr. Hunter has also submitted questions to the county staff regarding their process for development of alternatives for a treatment facility, including questions about potential recharge rates at the Broderson site. At the time of these comments, there was no pending matter before the Water Board with respect to the county's development of a sewage treatment plant. Dr. Hunter has not participated on the Water Board during board consideration of any enforcement regarding Los Osos. The item on the agenda today is an informational item, not an action item by the Water Board, and is not about enforcement. Dr. Hunter may participate in this informational item.
Okay. Supervisor Gibson, good morning.
I feel much more comfortable offering information now, so
okay.
That'll be good. Mr. Chairman, good morning. It's a pleasure to be before you again. We were trying to reconstruct the last time. We think it was May. In the course of that time, we haven't had as much public activity as we have in previous months, but behind the scenes in offices and in various meetings, there has been a lot going on. I could stretch an analogy of a serene duck on the surface of a pond with legs furiously moving underneath. I think that might be good. I will not try to stretch it to the point of trying to line up ducks in a row, but that's really sort of what we're trying to do right now, which is our team, under the able leadership of the gentleman you see at the table here, has been working very hard with consultants to line up the environmental and the technical issues on this. We are about to enter a very active phase of public participation as we get ready for the release of a draft EIR that they will tell you about. And we expect, once that happens sometime in October, that we're looking at a very active 6 months. From my own role in this continues to be to help motivate efforts at public outreach, both within the community through office hours, our meetings at the Board of Supervisors, and some community meetings that we will be setting up soon, and also to reach out to agencies such as yours, the State Water Board, the Coastal Commission, all affected interested parties, both from the funding and the regulatory side. I continue to be impressed with the quality of work that comes out of our team, and I think one way we can measure that is that our board continues to move forward on this project with a series now of consistently unanimous votes, and I think that that is something that we're looking very much forward to continuing in the future. At this point, I have little to add. I'll turn it over to our experts here who will give you the meat of this update. Again, thanks very much.
Thank you. I don't think so.
Chairman Young.
There we go.
Paula Ogren, Public Works Director. And with John Waddell, who's our project engineer. We have a PowerPoint presentation that shouldn't take too long to get through, and then, you know, we'll obviously be available for questions and answers. I'm going to just run through a little bit of how we've gotten to today, and then John's going to be running through future steps. Recent milestones up. In 2006, again, that was our year of working with Assemblyman Blakesley and AB 2701. Just as a little bit of background, 2007 is where we had hired Corollo Engineer, do engineering evaluations through a fine screening, a rough screening and fine screening reports, and that was the basis of evidence for cost estimates in our Proposition 218 assessments. The 218 assessments covered the developed properties, and we still have funding that we have to propose to the undeveloped properties down the road once we've been able to establish a water management plan with the water purveyors, as well as address habitat conservation plan issues that are conditions of the coastal development permit or have been in the past and expect to be in the future again. This year, as the focus has been on the draft environmental impact report, as Supervisor Gibson indicated, we have that scheduled to be released to the public in October. It's a very voluminous document, and the EIR team is nervous about that October release date, so we'll see if they start urging us to allow a November date. We're continuing to pressure them to make sure that we get that draft EIR out on the street as soon as possible. And in concert with the 2008 preparation of the draft EIR, the engineering team has also been supporting it through technical memos. And some of that's illustrated in the report that we provided to you. What this illustration just simply does is it shows the relationship between the technical memos that were prepared this year and different components of the environmental impact report. And we have other illustrations that are helping individuals really be able to walk through the EIR and see where the different analyses are located, whether it's AB 32, the greenhouse gas analysis, that's new analysis that hadn't been done in previous EIRs on the project, or whether it's using some of that prior information and prior EIRs and carrying it forward into this EIR. But providing illustrations so that people can walk through the document, because it is going to be extremely large. And I think we've mentioned at some point in time that our executive summary is expected to be about 150 pages. Most recently, what we've done is an aerial photo survey for a step tank questionnaire, and that is under the two different collection system alternatives that we've been evaluating in the EIR. The step tank is where all the septic tanks would be replaced with a new type of a tank, not a septic tank for leach field purposes, but then would be used in order to take that liquid effluent and to pump it into a pressurized collection system. It's got some advantages associated with the ability to do more trenchless construction, but there are certainly disadvantages as well. And I have to hold off on drawing any of the conclusions that we think we're going to be releasing, because the draft EIR still needs to come out. Obviously, the project team feels at this point in time, as admin drafts of the EIR are going around, that we've established a pretty strong understanding of the different technologies that we're looking at. But we just have to hold off on conclusions until we release the draft EIR. And at that point in time, we'll be able to speak more to our professional opinions on the different technologies. But the point of this aerophoto step tank questionnaire is because it would certainly have property owner impacts by having to replace existing tanks, put new tanks in yards. And so similar to operations that we did down in Napomo several years ago in connecting homes to a centralized collection system, is we sent them all aerial photos with little icons so that they could indicate that under this collection technology, where would they want the new tank placed. Necessary for preliminary design, certainly. Also necessary in order to increase the public awareness that if this option is being considered, there would be property owner impacts, and want to make sure that the public is aware. Obviously, a project like this, and for our agencies, it's high on the radar screen, but even in a community like Los Osos, there's a lot of people that don't look at the details. And so we thought, getting that aerial photo out there before the draft EIR hit the street would help with property owner awareness and identifying initial property owner preferences. And what we mean by that is that we also asked a very simple question of would they support that particular collection technology or not. As you can see, of the questionnaires that we sent out, we did get almost 60% response, which, you know, in sending out questionnaires to property owners on a first initial questionnaire, getting a 60% response is relatively high. 7% of those, only about 50% actually answered the question about a step tank collection system. 14% were undivided. Those who expressed an opinion were about a third overall, and about half of that was in support, half of that was in opposition. And this is another way of graphically looking at it. The single largest response was strongly opposed to the collection system alternative of a step system. And what we reported to the Board of Supervisors is that in looking at alternative technologies, you know, there's something that's got to compel us to go down that road. It might be a number of different things. With respect to the Lopez Dam seismic remediation project that we did earlier this decade in rebuilding Lopez Dam, we went with an alternative technology, first time approved by the California State Division of Safety of Dams, but there was compelling reasons to go down that path. Traditional methods of rebuilding that dam would have had significant environmental impacts that we were able to avoid through the alternative technology. Costs, we save about 25% on the project costs as well. So when we look at alternative technologies, you know, again, what's the compelling reason? These initial survey results would not indicate to us that there's a strong community preference to go down this route. So in terms of weighing community preferences on alternative technologies, when we do our official community survey this fall, something will have to change from these results in order to indicate that the community, you know, has a strong preference for a step collection system.
Of the non-responses that you had, did you get envelopes that were returned, you know, address?
Relatively few, yeah, we always do, but that's still going to be very, you know, small. Very small, yes. And part of that is also simply that since we did the Prop 218 vote last year in terms of mailing records and, you know, a lot of that information was cleaned up as far as those official results. So we just recently finished the STEP questionnaire. Of course, community preferences is one issue. Technical issues is, you know, will also be addressed in the EIR, cost implications through the design build process. So it's going to be a fairly well vetted alternative. But again, this is providing you an update on what we've done so far and the information that is coming in. Also in your package is a little matrix on interagency coordination. As Mr. Gibson had indicated, we've been ongoing efforts with the different resource agencies, and the purpose of this matrix is to lay out the various significant project issues and which agencies either have, you know, primary decision-making authority on it or are otherwise involved in it. And this has proven to be helpful in other areas, other projects as well. But as we get together with the different resource agencies, especially if there's conflicting opinions between resource agencies, then the matrix helps identify who needs to sit down and talk with who in order to try to work through issues. And, you know, a good tool that as we move forward in the next 6 to 9 months and really get into the serious deliberations of what is going to be proposed in terms of project description, that we have adequate input, you know, proper input from everybody who's part of decision-making.
And can I ask you a question?
Certainly.
Since we're having a problem with my mic. Just curious on California Department of Fish and Game,
yeah.
Any dialogue that you've had with them regarding the new MPA program and the consideration or review of impacts to Morro Bay?
We certainly have had ongoing discussions with Fish and Game. The second part of your question was on topic specific?
Specifically.
On Morro Bay? Yeah, and part of the EIR analysis is going to look at if there is a spill at the plant, what's the, you know, risk to the bay, how long would it take in order to, you know, for that effluent to actually get into the water body. That's the focus of the analysis in the EIR itself. Like many aspects of the Los Osos Water Project, there's some individuals who have jumped to certain conclusions. We've heard publicly that, for example, the Tri-W site, because it's in close proximity to the bay, would be a bigger risk to spills. Yet the nature of the sandy soils would indicate that spills might actually get, you know, taken in by the sponge, if you will. Once we move east of town, the soil conditions change in the proximity to Los Osos Creek, and then the direct conveyance there into the bay is actually something that's, you know, an easterly site, if you will, is not necessarily going to mean a lesser risk to the bay. We could actually move farther away from the bay and have a higher risk because of the proximity to the Los Osos Creek. And so that's part of the EIR analysis as well.
Thank you.
At this time, I'm going to turn it over to John to talk about what's going on next week and in the next couple months.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the board. I'm John Waddell, project engineer for the Los Osos project, also from the County Public Works Department. We have a number of critical milestones for the project coming up in the next several months. One of the ones in the near future, and actually going to be concluding their work in the next couple weeks, is a peer review panel by NWRI, National Water Research Institute, which is a nonprofit organization out of actually part of the Orange County government. And the panel chair is Dr. George Chabaniglis, a well-known and well-respected University of California at Davis environmental engineering professor. This panel, and mostly the same members that it's made up of mostly the same members that reviewed the Los Osos CSD's project update in 2006, which was done by the Ripley Pacific Company. The panel has experts both in wastewater engineering and environmental compliance, and they're going to be evaluating the engineering products that have been done by Corollo engineers over the last year and a half, which would include the rough and fine screening reports that were done last year, as well as the series of 12 technical memos that were completed earlier this year. And you know, as part of their review, they'll either they'll concur with our conclusions or highlight challenges and areas for improvement. We expect that they'll have their they're currently conducting their review, and we expect that their report should be out in October. Also, concurrent with the release of the draft EIR, our Public Works Department will be releasing a document that will anticipate calling our project plan that will outline the specific steps that we'll be following related to the to get to the final EIR, our board's due diligence resolution, which is required under Assembly Bill 2701, also our project funding, and our approach to design build contracting. We anticipate that coming out concurrent with the release of the draft EIR, and we'll and later in the presentation, so there'll be a flow chart that shows how these all will work together as we get to the final EIR and the final project selection. The draft environmental impact report is the major effort for 2008, and as Paavo said, we anticipate its release in approximately the next 6 to 8 weeks, and are keeping the pressure on the authors to meet that schedule. It is essentially a co-equal analysis under the federal NEPA model. Of the most viable alternatives are evaluated on a co-equal basis. I believe there are four project alternatives that are co-equally analyzed, and then the draft EIR will identify the environmentally preferable project of those. You know, because it is such a large document, we will have an extended public comment period. And this next slide just illustrates the makeup of the document. The first couple boxes at the top there are the actual environmental impact report document. The executive summary and the EIR we anticipate to be around 200 pages total. However, the supporting analysis and documentation will be in the appendices, and that's the next several rows of documents, and anticipate that will be several thousand pages. One thing to aid in and the public and agencies access to reviewing the EIR is this will be available as a web-based document. So these many appendices and reports can be navigated through links on an internet page. And that's being developed as part of the scope of work with the environmental consultant. The community advisory survey will also closely follow after the draft environmental impact report. This is kind of the official survey that will cover a range of options for the project, including technologies, sites, costs, environmental issues. And we will be having a number of community workshops to answer questions and raise awareness. These community workshops will also be covering information and issues with the environmental impact report. As part of this survey, we plan to survey the entire community, which would include homeowners and renters, business owners, as well as residents both in and out of the prohibition zone. But then in the analysis, the results will be identified by each of those demographics, you know, the results from homeowners, results from people in prohibition zone, out of the prohibition zone. And all that information is advisory to our Board of Supervisors and will be available to them as they as they make project decisions. And then design-build contracting is another key element of the project that we are pursuing. I'm currently drafting the request for qualifications, which is the first step in the design-build process, and expect to release that also soon after the release of the draft EIR. And anticipate having separate RFQs, request for qualifications, for the collection system and a separate one for the treatment facility. And shortlisting the qualified, pre-qualify prospective bidders and develop a short list of the most qualified around the end of the year. And then the RFP, request for proposal process, would be conducted after the EIR is finaled. So we're currently drafting the RFQ. We're also researching the RFP process and attending trainings. One of the leaders in design build is the Design Build Institute of America. And they have a number of courses and a training program, and a number of our staff are attending those. On this flow chart, kind of illustrates how the major milestones that are coming up in the next few months. The project plan, the draft EIR, release the design build RFQ, and the community survey essentially results for each of those documents, whether it's in the form of public comments on the EIRs, statement of qualifications from prospective bidders and pre-qualifying teams, and then the community survey results, as well as then the project plan, all will feed into decisions and recommendations for the final EIR and coastal development permit, which we expect to take to our board, our planning commission in early 2009. And then at that time, begin a concurrent process. We expect the EIR to be appealed to the coastal commission, which will potentially take several months, and develop and beginning our then proposal process for design build contracting, and just allowing each of those processes to developed concurrently will maximize the efficiency and the scheduling efficiency of getting through both of those processes. Some ongoing, some future efforts that we anticipate not happening in the remainder of 2008, but going into 2009, are groundwater management planning, and that's working with the water purveyors in the community to identify programs and best management practices to address the water supply issues in the community, developing a life cycle cost model, considering operation and maintenance and replacement costs of the different wastewater technologies, as well as their capital costs to aid in the selection of design build proposals, pursuing state revolving fund loan and developing our application for that with the State Water Board. Also, a disadvantaged persons assistance plan. There are, you know, Los Osos, based on the demographics, does not meet definition under the SRF program of a disadvantaged community. However, we know that there are many disadvantaged persons within the community, and we have conceptually laid out a plan to provide financial assistance on the project, and we'll be pursuing that and pursuing funding for that. And then also undeveloped properties. There's the previous coastal development permit had a number of conditions before undeveloped properties could hook up to the wastewater project, and pursuing conclusions of those conditions and meeting those conditions, as well as their fair share of funding for the wastewater project.
Could you expand a little bit more on the disadvantaged persons assistance plan?
Certainly. We've been pursuing Prop 50 and Prop 84 grant funds specifically to help with the project. And generally throughout the state, the grant awards for regions have been around $25 million for specific projects. Any region in their overall integrated regional water management plan, then that $25 million would go to fund a number of projects. What we've been targeting specifically through either Prop 50 or Prop 84 was $10 million for the Los Osos Wastewater Project. And with the size of the project, you know, $10 million would certainly be helpful, but it would not bring down monthly costs very significantly. So working, in our applications and now in during follow-up with state staff, at State Water Board, and also with DWR staff, the idea is if we get $10 million allocated to Los Osos, is there a mechanism then, rather than reducing overall project costs by $10 million and having, you know, a marginal benefit to disadvantage, is there a way that we could take that $10 million and target it specifically for disadvantaged persons in order to provide them with maximum potential benefit? We have an individual on staff, John Diodati, whose earlier part of his career was with USDA. And USDA does have programs established specifically targeting disadvantaged individuals. And so we've been using some of the theories from the USDA program and working with the State Water Board. There's some basic concerns. One is the permissibility of being able to target, because when you do that, we run into the issues of privatization. Not privatization in terms of the facility overall, but taking public money and using it for a private activity. Not really a gift of public funds issue, but on the private activity issue, what it is that they're, in order for tax-exempt bonds to maintain their tax-exempt status, general rules exist, and one of them is that no more than 10% of the funding can be used for private activities. So then, you know, working with state staff, okay, is targeting disadvantaged persons, is that a private activity, would that create a conflict, or is it just a limitation on how much could be applied? For example, if the state on a statewide basis is giving out $100 million in grants, Los Osos gets $10 million, if we're the only one that's trying to target disadvantaged persons, maybe we would be in compliance because we're under the 10% rule. But obviously in proposing a plan like this, it creates a lot of questions, so we've been engaging with state staff, both at the State Water Board and DWR, about concerns that they have on that type of a program. It also begs the question of, well, if you got a grant allocation, county, can't you just sort of work your loan? You know, you've got various funding sources for your projects. Can't you just kind of make it work? And that's a possibility as well. You know, so. We're hopeful that we can be able to, you know, develop a program. The better that a program that we propose can then be applied on a statewide basis, you know, is obviously something that we're trying to seek, you know. And I also want to reflect on the state just did approve new guidelines for the SRF program back in July. They came into effect in August, which includes pursuing 30-year funding for eligible communities, small communities, either disadvantaged or small communities that have populations of 20,000 or less, and where the cost of the monthly wastewater cost is going to exceed 4% of medium household income. And those revisions to the state SRF guidelines were certainly in part due to the work that we've all been doing on Los Osos, in part of your staff's recommendations, in fact, on, you know, it shouldn't just be a basis of income levels, but it should also be based on cost of regulatory compliance. And so that's now in the SRF guidelines. That's a similar one where our bond counsel worked with their legal counsel to look at California law in comparison to the federal rules on the SRF program and how can we develop something new. So we've been really pleased in some of the forward movement up at the state level on the SRF program. And this disadvantaged persons assistance plan is one that we're going to continue to work with them to see, you know, what can we do? Is it something that just has to be structured at the local level, or can it be incorporated into state guidelines as well? Obviously, though, the benefits, you know, in a project like this of being able to identify those who have the greatest needs and target, you know, grant money to them. Another basic concept on the USDA side of it, and I won't go on too long here on this program, even though it is one that I'm real hopeful on, is that we've done the demographic analysis, and let's say $10 million allows us to help support the bottom 15, you know, the least of the 15% who will have the hardest time affording the project. If their property is sold, if it's transferred, if they pass away, then the idea is that whatever subsidy had been provided would be a lien on the property, it would get repaid, and then it would go back into a revolving program so those who are still in the community with need, you know, the second tier, if you will, would then get support at that point in time. The theory is at the end of the day, everybody's paid back, and then in the final years of the project, it simply gets to, you know, pay off the bonds a couple years early or whatever, depending on the level of overall funding. So, again, that's real similar to structures. You know, we're taking theories from USDA and some of the work that they're doing specifically for disadvantaged persons, and the revolving fund component of the theory obviously relates to the state revolving fund loan program as well. You know, the more that we can do revolving fund types of programs, the more that the funding lasts in perpetuity or lasts over time. You know, I kind of want to, that was sort of the conclusions of John, but I want to back up just to this really quickly here, because this project plan that we're going to be releasing right after the draft EIR is really going to be laying out what we as the public, you know, the team, the project team, believes the steps and the technologies that we really believe this project needs to be structured around. Over the last couple years, one of our theories, you know, and our themes that we've been working with is that as the county has gotten reinitiated in this project and it's, you know, come over from the CSD, we've really held off on expressing our opinions because we want to get the draft EIR done, we want to do the analysis, we want to get input from the different resource agencies, we really want to get our arms around the issues before we start going out and saying this is what we think it should look like. But we also recognize that at some point in time, you know, leadership on anything, leadership on a project or what have you, you know, people have to step up and say this is what we think needs to be done. And so that's going to be an important component of the project plan is our expressions of our professional opinions on what should be done in Los Osos on this wastewater project. And we think it's important for the community survey, the individuals who choose to respond to the community survey, that they have the benefit of the draft EIR. They've got the benefit of all the work we've done so far, but they also have the benefit of either, you know, agreeing or disagreeing, but at least hearing what our professional opinions are. But we won't be making the final recommendations on a project description until after the community survey comes in and until after the comments on the draft EIR come in. Make those, you know, final recommendations, bring it then to the Planning Commission, because there's some cases out there that show that when we make sure that the EIR is tied in with the consideration of the coastal development permit, then if the EIR is litigated on issues that are related to the coastal development permit, of course, an EIR can get litigated for many reasons, but since the coastal development permit is closely tied into the project descriptions and sites and technology evaluations and everything, those EIRs that are tied in with the coastal development permit, the cases have shown that the judicial side of our government says, well, look, that appeal process through the Coastal Commission needs to work itself out. And in my layman's understanding, It's basically that the courts are saying when those two are intertwined together with each other, that the Coastal Commission is, in a sense, you know, the final arbitrator of the evaluation. And having, you know, case law that spells that out and making sure that we set up our process that is established, you know, with an anticipation that, you know, it's been a litigious project, and then structuring it in a way that has clarity based on prior cases, we think is really an important, you know, component of developing these strategies. And this is the first time, actually, that publicly we're coming out and talking about what I've historically talked about is the dovetailing the EIR, the coastal development permit, and the design build process. We all knew, you know, for a while now that we've wanted to do it, had good, you know, principal reasons for doing it, but this is the first time we're actually talking about this level of detail. We could then have a final EIR that it's going to have a site, it's going to have a technology, but the design build process is still going to be open. It's not tied to CEQA directly. We can do RFQs and RFPs, go real far down the design build process, and the CEQA only becomes integrated when we actually award a contract to a contractor. And so the benefit of this is that we do need to get an EIR, you know, certified and get into the coastal development permit process and in anticipation of appeals. But by having the team shortlisted and contractors on board working through a design build process, it provides for that iterative type of interaction. That if through the permitting process our project description starts getting modified, let's just say it's at Coastal and Coastal makes determinations that modifies, we'll have the design build teams on, we give them an addenda to the RFP, but we have the ability then to respond to it. Likewise, if there's a project approach that based on our professional opinion we don't have a lot of confidence in, but the contracting and private industry says, hey, we can really come in a lot less expensively for this community, then they can still submit proposals in there. And in that event, you know, again, maybe it's something that we don't have a lot of confidence in, but it provides the opportunities for the private contractors to come in and, you know, shed light on the issue. And certainly when the contracting industry today is you know, the economy has slowed down, the competition, the contractors and what they might be putting on the table because, you know, the industry is more hungry. You know, we want to make sure to keep open those opportunities. Again, if something comes out in the design build process also that is significantly less expensive, but it's going to meet the requirements of the project, meet, you know, your board's requirements, and through the iterative process of the coastal development permit also meet the satisfaction of the Coastal Commission, and contractors lay that on the board, it would require us to do some addendums to the EIR, some recirculation supplements to the EIR, but it would end up resulting in the best project possible for the community. And so I just wanted to emphasize that, because I know we're going to get questioned a lot on that, you know, on this concurrent work of the design build with the coastal development process. And to us, it's just simply the best way to be able to, you know, work both of them concurrently, and keep the options open for the community. In a best case scenario, what we put out in the final EIR ends up also being consistent with the coastal development permit, and we get good bid proposals through the design build process. All things, you know, best case scenario, could potentially break ground by the end of 2009, which is, you know, ultimately what we're sort of eagerly anticipating. It's interesting doing all the evaluations and stuff, but what we really want to do is break ground and get a project under construction.
When do you anticipate coming before this board for your NPDES permit?
WDR?
Yeah, the timing with your board as well as some of the others, those details we have yet to be work out. We have to start working on our engineer's report. Once we come up with our project plan, then we start working up our engineer's report, because before we can do the real application, though, we have to have the EIR certified. We've got to have our engineer's report. For State Water Board, we've got to have a couple other things too, water conservation plans. So in the project plan is we're going to lay out those details, but still, because we have to get that EIR certified, it's going to be at least the second quarter of next year, and third quarter of next year. again, that best-case scenario on breaking ground in 09 is a lot of things falling together. But also, you know, the benefit of being able to get in front of your board is the critical path there is through a final EIR. Our ability to sell, finish our due diligence, when we get the final EIR certified, if we're litigated on the final EIR, then we evaluate the credibility of that litigation and decide whether or not we go forward with the due diligence resolution sooner or later. But the finalizing the EIR has, you know, direct relationships to due diligence, direct relationship to providing a formal application to your staff, the direct relationship to be able to sell assessment bonds and repay the county the money that they fronted up front. So certainly that's the one that is in the red box.
Thank you for that status report. Any board questions or comments? None. Anything else as part of the county's presentation?
Well, just to keep our fingers crossed. It's okay. Going well so far, and it will be interesting over the next 6 months because a lot of the work efforts that we've been doing historically are things that, you know, we can control internally. There are work products, our evaluations, Board of Supervisors considerations. But in the very near future now, we're going to be working with all the external agencies. We're going to continue to try to push the schedule as best as we can. But we're going to be hopeful that we can work through all the external agency issues as well. And on that, as a final note, when we release the draft EIR, we'll be sending letters to each of the agencies asking them, you know, okay, we expect comments on the EIR, but we've got a couple of questions that we really want you to address as well. State Water Board, for example, this issue of a step collection system, are they going to be willing to fund it through SRF funds or are they not? And that would be a question that we would like to see them answer sooner as opposed to later because it clearly has effects on fiscal considerations.
Mm. Well, if history is any guide to what, you know, is liable to happen, probably the most challenging parts of this project lay ahead.
You're right.
Always. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, we have a number of speakers for this item, so you might want to hang around and provide any follow-up. Yeah,
okay.
You can stay there. Mr. Briggs, we have these in any kind of order. Okay. If any member of the audience wishes to address the board on this item, if you'd please fill out a speaker card and submit it so that we can put this into our queue. Dr. Mary Fullwood, our first speaker, Mr. David Dugan, second speaker, Karen Venditti, the next one, Gwen Taylor, and then Piper Riley. Those are the speaker cards I have at this time. Okay. Dr. Wood.
Okay. Hello. My name is Dr. Mary Fullwood, the Los Osos representative for the San Luis Bay chapter of the Surfrider Foundation and the Sierra Club representative for the Marine Interest Group. To supplement the community survey that was issued to gain a sense of the community preference for or against the use of STEP, Surfrider, Sierra Club, Slow Green Build, the Los Osos Sustainability Group, the Terra Foundation, and the Northern Chumash Tribal Council worked to create an analytical paper on collection systems that will be presented to the County Board of Supervisors next week. This paper seeks to analyze both STEP and conventional gravity systems' relative abilities to achieve the trimetric goals of sustainability, economic, social, and environmental. The paper does draw conclusions about the two systems, and we encourage the Board of Supervisors and the Regional Board to consider the findings. Upon presenting the paper to the Board of Supervisors, this paper will be available at santalucia.sierraclub.org, as well as other organizations' websites. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. David Dugan.
Dave Dugan, Los Osos. First, I'd like to say about the survey, I do believe I remember the staff saying that that survey was inconclusive. I think I heard something different up here, and if you want to, you could go and look at the video for that that day at the regional board, but they did say it was inconclusive. So I don't think you should take any weight on that survey that was just presented to you. Also, too, there's been conversation between members of the residents of the Prohibition Zone specifically one resident, between your staff, specifically prosecution, I believe, that as long as the county is moving forward with progress on this project, that that person or persons within the prohibition zone, and specifically those who are CDOs, are in compliance. Those are the words via email, you are in compliance. And so I specifically wonder what that really would do to what is going on for the appeals, and also specifically for the ACLs for the Los Angeles Community System, Los Angeles Community District. The question has to be asked, do you find them and end up bankrupting them, or are you finding them to compel them to comply? Los Angeles Community Service District no longer has purview over the wastewater project. So finding them $6.6 million doesn't seem the right thing to do at this time. You want to consider lowering that fine, and perhaps just the violation of the smaller violation may of the fine may be what you go for, because the $6 million, I think, would be just a bit overkill for something that the CSD has no purview over at this time. And they are complying. They voted yes to back 2701. They voted to approve their properties for the 218. And on more than one occasion, they have said that they approve of the county having the project, though maybe not a majority of the board members, but that changes. We have elections coming up, so maybe the next board will be a majority if they approve of the county's project. But I would just ask that you reconsider specifically the fines of the ACLs against the CSD, considering that you can't compel them to comply because they no longer have the project. And if you say, well, it's too early, yeah, that's fine, but if the county accepts the project, then perhaps you should reconsider the amount of that fine and maybe have that lowered, especially if, since we have portions of the community as disadvantaged, that money is going to come out of that community. It's going to come out of the prohibition zone specifically, and therefore any monies for services that the CSD can render to the residents of Los Osos will at this time, they're actually struggling to make ends meet, solvency. So just consider that, please. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Karen Venditti.
Mr. Young and the board members, and Pavel and John, nice to be with you this morning. Thank you very much for your report and the update. Appreciate that very much. And I appreciate the chance to be here with you again. I was here about a year plus ago when the county board of supervisors had sent a letter and were unable to be present at that meeting regarding CDOs and ACLs. And fortunately, I happened to be on TAC and was able to provide some information that bridged that gap. So thanks you for letting me come again. I really want to emphasize that I would say almost everyone in Los Osos, and I've talked with many people from many walks of life and many viewpoints, everyone wants a sewer in Los Osos. Everyone wants to do the right thing for the environment, to protect our aquifer, our groundwater, future source of drinking water, and the bay. I think we all treasure the gift that we have in Morro Bay. But given that, we also want to make sure that whatever path we take is a sustainable path, something we can live with and accomplish down the road as well as in the immediate future. So therefore, that critical foundation of sustainability must be something that is economically sustainable, that is socially sustainable, as well as environmentally sustainable. So I just want to encourage the county and all the folks who have a piece of decision-making power to keep all of those aspects in mind. I do want to comment also on the community survey that is slated for the county to come up very soon with the draft EIR. Many folks in Los Osos would very much like to have real cost information. We would like to see either a second survey to follow the initial survey, where in that second survey, the residents and business owners, et cetera, would have an opportunity to actually know what those cost numbers are from the design build bids, as opposed to the estimates that we currently have. Those are the most important things I wanted to mention, but I'll also mention about the STEP survey that came out in July, and again, feedback that I felt and heard from many people was that it was pretty confusing. They weren't quite sure where this was coming from, why it was being asked of them, or how to fill it out. And for those folks who have currently have a septic tank in their backyard, it gave them no option for leaving, putting the new tank in the same place, thereby minimizing soil disturbance. And again, from an environmental standpoint, we want to make sure that we're of soil disturbance as well as energy pollution, et cetera. So those are my comments at this moment, and I appreciate your consideration. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. And have you made those requests of the county?
Yes, through TAC.
Okay.
On a committee level, I work on the finance group, and I have asked for that, both publicly and privately, I believe. John, am I wrong there? You guys, you're clear on that, right? Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Gwen Taylor, then Piper Riley, Joey Ricano.
Good morning. My name is Gwen Taylor. I'm a resident of Los Osos, and I'm also a resident of the Prohibition Zone. I'd like to thank Dr. Press for his past interest in our situation in Los Osos, and particularly his listening. I hope that he enjoys his retirement. That being said, I'd like to tell you that the people in Los Osos, following on what had just been said regarding the survey, were under the impression that this survey was to be kept in-house, if you wish, within this county boundaries, not because we felt that there was anything wrong with it. It's just because it was not given out to every member of the residential area of the prohibition zone. The people are concerned about the step system. Some of us got our electronic surveys, or I should say our photographic survey, which is so offbeat that half of your property was in the other person adjacent to you, their property. Therefore, how are you supposed to determine where you'd like to have a tank? You may put down on this survey that they gave us your desire, but your desire may be on somebody else's property. The survey was very poorly explained. It was very poorly developed, and the people of the community were very ill-informed. It's an unfortunate cost that should not have been borne by the community, nor should the county have sent this type of survey out. Please review the survey with an open mind that it does not cover everyone in the prohibition zone. Thank you.
Well, was the survey sent out with the aerial photographs of the properties? Were they simultaneous?
That's correct.
Yes.
And did you get any feedback from folks that they...
Oh, our staff received several hundred phone calls. We did site visits with property owners, spent, you know, a number of days out in the community with individual property owners, and had somebody dedicated full-time to take any and all calls and, you know, address questions. His name and contact information was in the information that was sent to the property owners as well, so... you know, it was a pretty well-established. The written materials itself were adequate for a number of people, but those who did have questions and who wanted to follow up, we had staff who were available for them.
But were there some legitimate confusion issues as to what the aerial photos depicted?
I think that, you know, in terms of everybody, we were able to work through everybody's issues. The question about no backyard options is something that we've been really clear on. That because it would be clearly our requirement to maintain the equipment that's in the tank, the pumping equipment, as well as to make sure that the tank is cleaned out, it's not overfilling and everything. One of our conditions for considering it as an alternative is that all these tanks need to be in front yards, that we're not going to subject maintenance workers to going into somebody's backyard to do maintenance on a tank, partly because of a, you know, the privacy issue, but also because we just don't want to get into situations where, you know, our maintenance workers are having to be in a potential situation of conflict. It's different, you know, PG&E, Southern California Gas, others will have, sometimes have to go into backyards in order to read meters. And then we know that, you know, dogs need to be, you know, gated off so that the meter readers can get back in there. But that's completely different than actually having people to go in to do maintenance work in somebody's backyard on a tank. And so a condition of connection would be that a front yard easement would have to be provided, but the tanks would have to be in the front yard.
It sounded from what Ms. Taylor was saying that there was some confusion as to the accuracy of what was depicted in the photos in terms
You know, the
property
basic
lines and the location of tanks.
Right, so when we use a GIS informational database where we overlay property lines on top of an aerial photo, that does not have a surveyor's level of accuracy associated with it. So we have a little disclaimer on there because, you know, the property lines might not be exactly accurate. And we have to do that. You know, Public Works Department, you put out information like that, it either meets a surveyor's level of accuracy or it doesn't, and so we have to make sure to, you know, basically have that disclaimer in there. But again, when people called, what we're looking for is general locations of where they would want to have tanks. Do they have site conditions that would allow it to be in the front yard? Would it have to be underneath the driveway? Do they have extensive landscaping that they want to be have avoided? Those kind of questions were, you know, clearly answered during our contacts with the property owners. And as a point of emphasis also, we did send it out to all the property owners who would be impacted. The community survey that's coming up this fall, which is going to include issues of pricing sensitivity that Ms. Vendetti had brought up, but that community survey overall will get into that greater level of detail. This initial questionnaire was to, again, bring up community awareness and anticipation of that bigger community survey to get the basic understanding of where the community sits today. Again, those results might change after the release of the draft EIR. But again, in terms of the basic questionnaire and aerial photos that we did already, consistent with what we did down in Napomo several years ago, this isn't something that was, you know, specifically devised, you know, for Los Osos. It's something we've done before, and it's to gain a general understanding of where property owners would want to have a tank in the event that this technology is implemented.
I want to ask Ms. Taylor another question. I assume that you had specific questions regarding the survey when you received it?
Yes.
And did you contact the county?
Yes.
And were they able to satisfactorily answer your questions?
No.
And who did you speak with at the county?
The number that was on the slip that was our the survey application. When we received it, we looked at it and we were amazed. Our home is relatively new to the adjacent property. They did not have any site for our septic system. Mm. On the house adjacent, they did. And we were very concerned because we would have had to put our septic system or new tank in an area that, yes, we would have had to, or we will have to, however, put in a jackhammer in to remove the driveway. Mm-hmm. And on the adjacent property, they won't be able to put it in unless they tear a wall down. So there are a lot of questions, and there was a lot of information that was deleted and not, shall we call it, answered adequately.
Mm. And I'm curious how far you took your questions with the county. After you got through the first person, did you call Pavro's office?
Certainly not, sir.
Any reason why not?
Yes, a very excellent reason. I have sat or stood here and listened to what Mr. Ogren has said. I have been at almost every Board of Supervisors meeting, and unfortunately the spin that is put on the question with an answer is too involved for a rational person to absorb and get a correct answer.
And have you tried Supervisor Gibson?
Supervisor Gibson, at the last meeting that we had, we were at a Planning Commission hearing, and we were not able to discuss it because we were not there.
No, I mean just to call his office to try to get any additional assistance with understanding what the survey was about.
No, primarily because the survey was supposed to be self-explanatory, and when it did not give the answers that you would expect the county offices to be able to give you, to go to the poor supervisor to ask him for every project in Los Osos is bending over a little far.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes,
I
Dr. Press.
Comment on this. 63% of your surveys had no response on the question that you were asking about the step. You had 42% unanswered, you had 7% no answer, and 14% undecided. That's not a very good rate. It's 42% plus 7 plus 14. This is the meaning you have 63% that are not answering the question. They're either saying they're undecided, or there's no response, or there's an unreturned survey. It sounds like the STEP questionnaire may be mooted at this point, but if it's not, and or you're going to continue with more surveying, more community surveying, to the extent that you're going to do this by mail, I'd recommend Don Dillman's book, D-I-L-L-M-A-N, called Mail and Internet Surveys. He's the country's expert on mail surveys. There's plenty of people that you can contract with who will do the phone surveying, but relatively few people actually have expertise with mail surveys, which are much less costly, but are very difficult to do properly. So I would recommend that there may be another round of thinking and design for the mail surveys. The really best ones involve as much as 5 or 6 contacts with the respondents. You tell them you're going to contact them, you contact them, you tell them you contacted them, you go back and forth, there are phone, there's a combination with phone. Anyway, so I'd recommend that to maybe improve the kind of, because you're slated to rely on this kind of interaction a lot, and it sounds like it could be done a little bit better.
And certainly with respect to that community survey, we have went out on RFP. We have selected a outside firm to help us with that, and we'll follow up with some of the recommendations that the reference that you provide
has. Just don't assume that because you get a survey firm that they
right.
know how to do yeah. mails the latest in mail surveys that get you the best response right. and the best understanding. It's like I said, it's relatively there's relatively few who know how to do it.
And I would, just with all due respect to some of the, comments of concerns that your board has heard, I think that, again, our objective of that initial questionnaire has actually, some of the statements have indicated that it did serve its purpose. Individuals who understand that if they're going to have a step tank, that they have to, that the driveways are going to have to get jackhammered and ripped up. That's one of the things that's so difficult in a project like this is making sure the individuals who are going to be impacted really start understanding what those impacts are going to be under different alternatives, because it's so easy to go out into workshops and have dialogues and talk about things, and look at PowerPoints. But unless people start really getting a feel for how it's going to impact them, they don't. You got to get those questionnaires. You got to start increasing public awareness. Make them, make sure that they understand that, hey, if there's going to be a retaining wall in the way, something's going to happen to that retaining wall. Or if a driveway is going to have to get ripped up, something's going to. The impacts of this project just in the road right away itself are going to be incredible. A relatively dense community, 45 miles of pipeline, any which way you look at it, whether it's, trenchless technology or whether it's conventional technology, any which way, it's a lot of construction impacts. And a question is do the property owners want to have additional property impacts from a step collection and how it's going to affect their homes? And this type of testimony that you're hearing today, I think, is evidence that getting that questionnaire out there, increasing public awareness and increasing people's understanding that it will have impacts, is showing that as an early step, it's, it's serving its purpose.
I also think, sir, that you should advise the county that they cannot, shall we call it, depend on the electronic communications. There are older people in the community that do not have any type of electronic communication other than a radio. And you think I'm joking, I'm not. And therefore, you must have more than just an outreach with the electronic facilities available. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Briggs.
Well, this the issue of STEP versus conventional collection system is an important aspect of the project, certainly, and interesting in terms of how to survey and how to make those decisions, and appreciate the board's making suggestions in terms of how to improve that process. In terms of the jurisdiction of this board and our authority, waste discharge requirements will come before this board for effluent limitations and recycle limitations, and the nature of how of the facilities with which the county ends up conveying the wastewater to the treatment plant is really a local decision between the county and the community. So just I was going to say that at the end, but lest we get too wrapped up in thinking that we have some sort of jurisdiction over that, I thought I should advise you about that.
Thank you for the advice. Okay. Piper Riley.
Good morning, Board. I'm Piper Riley. Harvey Packard stated, our position is that we expect the county to evaluate collection system alternatives and propose the best one for Los Osos. As the draft EIR is due out in a few weeks, I'm concerned that there has not been fair vetting process for the LOWWP. The technical memos included many components irrelevant to Los Osos, while ignoring others which were critical. This practice continued with a recent meaningless survey and concluded with Wednesday's field trip to facilities whose end product will not meet health standards set for 2010. The county is wasting millions of dollars at Los Osos' expense in order to seemingly spin step collection and sustainable systems in a negative way. I realize that money spent is not an issue for this board, but water quality is, and the picture that is forming is that the county will soon suggest that the best system for Los Osos will be a gravity collection with conventional treatment, just like the failed Corollo system at the CMC. We in Los Osos do not wish to be forced into a position where we could face potential fines for leaks, spills, and chemical violations like the CMC is facing today. We also do not want to be in a position like Morro Bay with its massive issues of infiltration and exfiltration, nor be like Pismo Beach and wonder where all the E. coli is coming from. Ultimately, we do not want to pollute at all, and we wish to protect our bay and the precious aquifer on top of which we live. As of yet, it is my understanding that the county has not evaluated all of the aspects of the gravity collection, nor the final costs if the pipes were to be sealed. In response to my concerns over the gravity collection, Mr. Packard has stated that your board will require proper maintenance and operation of a chosen system, but potential hazards to the environment could be greatly reduced by not allowing failed technology to be installed in the first place, and instead to support the use of safer methods of collection like Pio Lombardo's STEG system and ponding for treatment. We have entered the 21st century. It is time to let go of old ways which have failed us and to embrace sustainable technologies. Though it is the county's job to put together a project, we ask this board to use its experience to help guide the county to the most sound conclusions. Since I have another moment, I'd like to speak about the Tri-W site. If you had a conventional system there, yes, you spoke that it could be like a sponge, and whereas if it were on the east side, that it could leak into the creek. But if you're using a ponding system, you don't have those issues. Also, with the survey, I have a fairly good understanding of wastewater systems, and I found it extremely confusing. It was originally only supposed to be sent out to find locations and not as an actual survey. There was nothing to compare it to, so it's very difficult to answer any questions if we don't know what the impacts of a gravity system will be to the various property homeowners, because you may have to install a 2-horsepower grinder pump. There are a lot of missing information, and also these step tanks could be placed very easily in the easements. So thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Joey Ricano.
Chair Young, Honorable Board, Joey Ricano, California Ocean Outfall Group. There's a certain amount of fatigue that we all share related to this project. It's important that we don't allow that to overshadow the validity of some of the issues brought up by the previous speaker. As you know, as we all know, the terrible events at the California Men's Colony Prison could have been much more terrible. there were 20,000-some-odd gallons spilled into the creek, which made its way down to the estuary. However, due to some quick thinking by the people at the prison, a larger catastrophe was averted. There were some 200,000 additional gallons that were able to be contained by a diversion. I think we all understand the ramifications of such a spill at the Tri-W site had that had we gone ahead with that, or should we go ahead with that. You would have had over a quarter of a million gallons of raw sewage right into the estuary, right basically into the State Marine Reserve. That is something we can't afford to allow to happen. So I ask you, when you're searching through all of these, and I know what an excellent job that Mr. Ogren has done, and how meticulous this process winds up having been through all this conflict, make sure that you keep in mind that the ultimate goal here is to make it affordable for people and to protect our precious coastal resources. And as far as the amount of soil that Ms. Venditti was talking about, we don't want to move too much soil, there are archaeological considerations as well. So I thank you for this opportunity to address you today.
Thank you for your comments. Maria Kelly, Don Bearden, and last speaker is Chuck Cesena.
Good morning. My name is Maria Kelly. I'm a resident, and I live in Los Osos. And, Mr. Press, I want to respond to you really quickly first and share Mr. O'Connell's sentiments. The community is exhausted. I didn't feel that the survey was inappropriately or poorly done. The reality is that there was voter turnout is low in Los Osos in regards to issues surrounding election of new directors. We had people just not even bother voting anymore. People are done. It's been 30 years. They may not want to respond because they just want the county to get the job done. So, and in support of that, the anxiety that you're hearing is the fact that the community was faced to force some real issues. The county is being asked, the community was being asked to support the collection of info to pass on to any type of contractor or company or whatever through the RFQ process, if I'm explaining that correctly. And you know what? There's still no sewer people in town. There are plenty of them, and some of them have been here today speaking with you and creating the illusion and trying to let you think that the county has been really confusing. Supervisor Gibson is in our community, except for over the summer, two times a month to meet with Los Osos residents on the issues concerning Los Osos, and specifically the sewer. The county at Board of Supervisor meetings once a month gives us time to speak to the agenda items, keeps us updated on the project. To only ever hear that they're not doing this well really frustrates me, because I feel like they're doing the best job that's been done this far, county, CSD, county. At this point, we're getting more time and more information than ever historically, and we want a solution. We want a resolution. I was also on the environmental TAC working group. I was on the technical advisory committee, and we did soil displacement analysis. We had somebody specifically do that. It's either private, it's either on your property, or it's in the community wide. So there's all these issues, and you're going to hear arguments coming before you and try to say that we're confused or there's so much chaos, and I just wanted to let you know that that's absolutely not true. And as a community member, I'm very supportive of the process and think that we've been heard quite adequately, and I appreciate their ongoing efforts. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. I didn't want to make the impression that I thought the county wasn't doing a good job. I've been very pleased to see that under Supervisor Gibson's leadership, as well as the tremendous involvement. I mean, your technical advisory committees are very impressive. I'm very impressed by the level of community as well as county expertise that is being marshaled towards this project. So I didn't want to give you that impression. I share your support for what's going on, I feel well updated. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Margetson just gave me a speaker card. He will be the last speaker. I am not accepting any more speaker cards for this agenda item at this point in time. So we have Mr. Bearden, Chuck Cesena, and then the last speaker will be Richard Marketson.
Don Bearden, I live in a prohibition zone in Los Osos. What you're seeing here is a conflict between the people that want step system and the people that want gravity collection system. I personally prefer a gravity collection system. And the reason I prefer a gravity collection system is because of the horrendous on-lot upsets that can happen in this community. And that's what that survey did. What that survey did was kind of stir the hornet's nest in that made people think about what they have to tear up. And in order to do a proper estimate of what a step system would cost this community, you need to go around to each and every property, because every property is different. They got trees in the way, they got driveways. Some people can't physically put a step system in their front yard. They have to put it in the backyard because there is nothing. There's huge retaining walls, and it would be horrendously expensive. So, but the step collection people want to talk about how cheap their step system is out in the plant, out in the community, and how much less road impact is going to be. But they don't want to hear it whenever, every time you turn around, you might have to bring electrical power to this thing and maybe install a new power panel because your old panel doesn't have room for another breaker and it's outmoded and people don't want to hear this kind of stuff. And in order to properly do it, you need to have an engineer that knows what he's doing go around to every property, analyze each property, and estimate the cost for that particular property. And the cost of doing that in itself would be horrendously expensive. So that's what's going on, and I don't know what the solution is. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Chuck Cesena?
Good morning, Chairman Young and fellow board members, and thank you, Dr. Press, for all the work that you've been putting in, and I do hope you enjoy your time off from this duty. I'd also like to say I do think the county's been working very hard, and to see the progression that's been made. Originally, gravity. It was going to be gravity. Now they're at least open to exploring options. So I don't think the problem is with the county. I do think it's with consultants sometimes that the county is hired. Because if you hire someone that isn't familiar with a new process, a new system, actually not that new, used in many other parts of the country for quite a while, maybe you can't expect to have the right information given back to you. I also agree with Mr. Bearden that this is kind of what it's coming down to, step versus gravity. And that's why it's important to look at the technology that is critical, and that is a sealed collection system. The proximity to the bay, the shifting sands, the topography, we need a closed collection system, sealed pipe, and the gravity estimates haven't included that yet because the consultants are not used to using that sort of thing. Community preference is such a soft area to talk about. That's why information for the community is key. And I don't think that the consultants are familiar enough with this kind of a system to be able to provide that information. Maintenance has been mentioned. Maintenance won't be monthly. How often do you maintain a septic tank now? It's not going to be monthly that you're going to need somebody in your backyard. And yet, that's where we have to eliminate the tanks is from the backyard. County right-of-way. The road right-of-ways are available for placing the tanks if front yards aren't big enough. There are ways to work with these issues that would allow an equal comparison. And that's all I've ever wanted was an equal and honest comparison. I don't think you're going to get it until you have bids back in from people who will actually build these systems. As Mr. Bearden said, you need accurate cost information. That's the way to get it. How much will you build this for? In terms of the survey, that's why I think the survey has to come as late as possible after a bids are received on a project, maybe, or a two-step process, not just through the EIR, because I don't think all the information is going to be there. And the last survey was very confusing to many people. I even heard it said that people were returning the survey supporting STEP because they thought this is a county-sponsored project, this is what the county wants, I want to agree with the county. So I'll say yes, I'll support STEP. That sounds like rationalizing your own survey. So if there was no confidence from the producer of the survey, then I really don't think it was worth much. Again, the cost is what's going to tell people what they really want, and I think that that's why the survey must include information that is available after the RFP and RFQ process is complete. Thank you for your time.
Mr. Sassain, I'm curious about one thing. You might have a feel for this. If the State Water Board decides it's not going to provide its funding for a STEP process, how do you think that is going to change the Los Osos residents' acceptance of STEP if it's going to cost more?
If it's going to cost more, that probably would have an impact on people's decisions, but I don't understand if the effluent that's produced by a treatment plant is the key. And isn't it been said that we can't tell you how to get there, we can just tell you what you have to get to?
Well, I understand that. I'm just looking at the funding part of that question. In other words, you need low-interest loan money to help facilitate getting this project.
Then the other arm of the water boards in the state will be doing your job of dictating what kind of technology, then, that we use, is what you're saying, through the funding.
I'm asking, are residents going to be willing to pay more money if they can't get low-interest rate funding to put in a STEP system?
I, for one, would be, because I can maybe afford to do the right green thing. When I voted yes on the assessment in 2001, I did not want a project at Tri-W, but the EIR implied that that was the cheapest project. I held my nose and I said, for the sake of those in the community who cannot afford to put this plant outside of town, I have to go along with it. That's why I was so infuriated and why I got involved when I found out that was never the cheapest project. So economics are a key part of this. Right. And that's why honest and accurate information is going to be vital.
Thank you for your comments. Yes. Richard Margetson, and he is our last speaker.
I wasn't going to talk about what Chuck just talked about, but I have to follow up. Why wouldn't the state fund a STEP system if it met the discharge requirements?
I can't answer that because
You put it out there that almost like that's the direction we would be going if we'd go STEP, that the state would just shut us down. Isn't the state's purpose to work for the citizens and to try to make this project as affordable as possible? Hasn't this community been through enough? And to put that out there as a statement, Mr. Young, was inappropriate. Because there were heads in the audience going, yeah, we agree with that. Why wouldn't the state, who works for the citizens who pay taxes in this state, approve a STEP system if it met your discharge requirements? I want an answer to that.
You know, Mr. Margetson, you're obviously a very angry.
I'm angry.
Disappointed, frustrated person.
No, I'm not.
I'm sorry about that.
I'm frustrated that this process has gone on this long.
And I'm sorry that you took my question entirely out of context. Thank you for your comments.
What was the context?
Okay.
I want my 3 minutes.
You're not getting them. Any other board questions or comments on this?
And
we're done with this agenda.
The board is going to put up with not taking the public comment.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Briggs.
Before the county folks take off, I wanted to mention just a couple of things, not questions, but first of all, I wanted to thank you for, in your matrix that you had, for including the, I think there was an I, as I don't know, was interested or whatever, in terms of the sustainability-related greenhouse gas emissions part of your matrix. AB 32 requires state agencies to consider sustainability factors in basically everything we do, so I'm glad that to see you include that. I personally sent some information regarding alternative energy and sustainability features to the county, and I forget what the name of the group was that put on a forum quite some time ago, 6 months ago or whatever it was. And so I sent some information that we've accumulated regarding treatment systems that have used alternative energy features and attempted to be as sustainable as possible. So I appreciate your recognizing that. I already mentioned the fact that our waste discharge requirements will specify the effluent recycling limits and that the method of conveying the wastewater is basically a local decision. And then lastly, I just wanted to acknowledge the county's work on this project, because the county had to make initially a discretionary decision about whether to jump into it at all, and they did that, and you've continued to make discretionary decisions along the way, and as you pointed out, you've had unanimous decisions on the part of the Board of Supervisors in terms of proceeding with the project, and I know it's a massive undertaking, and I just want to express my appreciation publicly for the work that you've been doing.
Well, in reply, thank you, Roger. You know, certainly appreciate, you know, the support that we've gotten from your staff as well, and looking for the various issues, and I think that the testimony today is reflective of a lot of what we are. You know, if it's the board meetings or if it's meetings out in the community, some of the biggest challenges are the combination of individuals who are angry and individuals who have preconceived notions of, you know, have jumped to certain conclusions. Even the idea that a step system is going to be a greener type of a technology. When the draft EIR comes out, I'm not sure that we're going to be reaching that same conclusion. Certainly 4,000 plus septic tanks, which is essentially a primary method of treatment, you know, separation of solids from liquids. They sit in there, and the methane production in the step tanks is significant. And so we have, you know, challenges here that are numerous associated with the project. And, you know, we're just going to continue to do the best job that we can in working with addressing issues that individuals have. You know, part of the things that I coach the team on is we all have to have big ears. You know, listen to what people are saying, because even when individuals have, you know, maybe developed preconceived conclusions, or if they're angry, the idea is we still need to listen hard in order to, you know, identify valid points of concerns that individuals have during these types of dialogues. And so, again, I appreciate the comments, Mr. Briggs.
Thank you.
Up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know